It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. You know, when you go to the grocery store and decide what to load into your shopping cart, how much do you look at those food labels?
Leslie from Lincoln City, Oregon. I read food labels for ingredients, calories, fiber, and salt. I really wish I could be able to read if they have GMOs.
Well, from Clarksville in Tennessee, after having lost 80 pounds, I am very food label conscious. It's the first thing I do when choosing my food. I pay most attention to the calories and the sodium count.
Cynthia from Grovetown, Georgia. I rely on labels heavily. I have found from reading labels that most foods that are not fresh is mostly useless.
Maria from Charlotte, North Carolina. I never buy anything without checking the nutrition label on a package. I could care less what the packaging looks like, if it's pretty. I just care about nutrition, what's in there, ingredients, and calories.
Lots of people who read labels closely and care. Call us with your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Well, in this ongoing conversation about the quality and the content of the food that we consume, labeling has again emerged as a big issue. This month, voters in Oregon and Colorado shot down ballot initiatives on mandatory GMO labels. And just this week, Neil Young announced that he's not going to Starbucks anymore, because that company threw in with an effort of over 300 other organizations that are filing a lawsuit to block a new GMO food labeling law in Vermont. Well, GMOs are not the only big labeling question. No, whether food is natural is also coming before the Food and Drug Administration. But how do labeling rules really get made? And what do they ultimately tell us about what's really on the inside of the packaging? Richard Williams is a former Food and Drug Administration Director for Social Sciences at the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. He's currently Vice President for Policy Research at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Richard Williams, welcome.
Hi.
Within the FDA, you know, a lot of people think that the FDA sets rules for labels, let's say, food companies. You have to label this, and the food companies have to do it. But in reality, there's an awful lot of negotiation. I mean, food companies have a great deal of say, ultimately, in what gets labeled and what doesn't, right?
I don't think that's exactly correct. The law is pretty clear about what has to be on the food label. Congress passes the laws, and FDA passes regulations that require information to be on the food label. And in general, the information that they require is based on science.
Well, I guess what I mean is, when somebody is lobbying to get a new version of a label or something new put on a label, like trans fats, let's say, or even natural, all natural, which we're going to talk about, that's not usually done by the FDA by fiat.
No, it's not by fiat. There is a process that all regulatory agencies go through where anybody can petition the Food and Drug Administration for a change they want to see on the label. The FDA then goes through the process of taking in all those comments, ensuring that it's consistent with the law, and then they can choose either to require it or not require it.
Well, there's, Richard Williams, there's all natural on lots of different kinds of foods, to the point where it's almost meaningless at this point. A lot of groups want a definition of all natural. It would probably restrict the ability of food companies to call something all natural, give it some meaning. What's your take on that?
My take is that nutrition policy questions are far too difficult to take on what I would consider to be non-scientific issues. And the problem with natural is that it's not a science issue, and therefore one that FDA probably should not take on.
Because all natural is more of a marketing statement and not really a scientifically valid one?
Absolutely. It's definitely a marketing statement. And there are lots of things that people would like to see on labels that really aren't science issues.
There are lots and lots of issues that come before the FDA, particularly in the area of food labeling, that really are sort of marketing issues, not necessarily science. And that's what we're talking about today. We also got this comment about labels from Westchester in Pennsylvania. I can't believe how hard it is to get the ingredients for a product. The FDA should mandate all ingredients be listed on all products. Of course, that would make sense. So why would they do that? One take from Westchester in Pennsylvania. This is The Takeaway. We're talking this hour about the difficulties and oftentimes the impossibility of getting new food labels from the FDA as companies interact with the agency. Richard Williams is the former Food and Drug Administration Director for Social Sciences at the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. We should also point out at the top of this, because we should do disclosure with anyone who has left government, you are also a paid consultant for the potato industry. That's right?
For the Association for Potato Research and Education.
Good. We just wanted to get that disclosure out there. Richard Williams, there's a long history of the First Amendment knocking up against what's on food labels. And what you often get is a rule that says, okay, you can't make a health claim about a food like, you know, this orange juice prevents osteoporosis. But you can make a claim about a function, and it leads to a bunch of sort of scientifically meaningless statements like, you know, supports bone health. You see that one all the time. And it's a statement that basically means nothing to a nutritionist or a scientist, but means everything to a marketer's desire to make an impression on a shopper.
Well, that's right. FDA does allow structure function claims. Health claims have to have a good deal more science behind them, as does a nutrient content claim, where you make a claim about a specific nutrient. All three types of claims show up on food labels.
So in a lot of cases, it seems like food companies are sort of like water in the sense that they'll always find and fill the gaps in whatever consumer protections for labels the FDA comes up with. In this case, you just said it. You can't make a health claim, but you can make a claim that sounds to most people an awful lot like a health claim. I mean, supports bone health sounds pretty good to me. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think that's right. And certainly people are going to try to market foods. They're going to try to sell foods in whatever way they can. And one of the issues that people have using food labels is that people tend to look at either the front of the label claims or when they turn the package around and they look at the nutrition facts panel, they'll focus on one or two of the elements on the nutrition facts panel. The fact of the matter is all foods have risk and benefits. They're packages of things, and it's very difficult for consumers, I think, to make a choice, even the simple choice, between any two foods.
Haven't efforts to simplify things like the simple things that a consumer can easily understand with the, you know, kid screaming in the shopping cart, this has 100 calories, this has 12 grams of sugar and this much saturated fat, the other stuff sort of superfluous. Does that help at all?
I think what would help, and I've been in favor of this for quite some time, is the front of package symbols that would essentially have an algorithm that would look at all of the elements of the food and try to help people understand which foods are a little bit healthier than others.
Isn't it the case that often when those simplification efforts happen, or efforts that would in fact maybe help one type of food sell better than another because it's better for you, you get a great deal of pushback from corporations that lobby before the FDA, right?
Well, actually, the food industry, along with nutritionists and consumer folks, tried to get together and create such a symbol. It ran into some problems, mostly because of the issue of added sugars. But I think that track was the right track for the food industry and for the government to go down eventually.
Well, let's go back to all natural, because it kind of plays into my question about, you know, the scientifically meaningless but excellent marketing statements like supports bone health. Now that lots and lots of things say all natural, which is meaningless, you say FDA should sort of stay away from it because it's scientifically meaningless. But the result is lots and lots of foods will continue to say all natural when they're really just sort of like granola candy bars.
Well, I think it's a non-scientific issue. Do we really want the Food and Drug Administration to certify sugar as natural, but then hold high fructose corn syrup as artificial? Both are nutritive sweeteners. Both are manufactured. I think there's a lot of information that people can get. There are supermarkets that cater to that call themselves natural. There are restaurants that are natural restaurants. And there's plenty of information on the web that people can go to find the kind of information they want. I think FDA has a hard enough job just trying to get the food label right, to get the science right, without taking on these issues.
Richard,
and frankly, there's a lot of work that could be done on the food label.
Thank you. Richard Williams, former FDA Director of Social Sciences at the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.